How about that? Death is overcome. You've already won. That's what we just say. Let me say it again. Death is overcome. You've already won. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, man, I believe it. The Lord God is good, and I am so grateful to be here with you this morning. I know that God has got a word for us today. Actually, this week, as some of you know, I have been trying to get myself back into some semblance of shape, and I know that it doesn't appear that way when you look at me, but I'm working on it, okay? It's a process, all right? But sometimes when you go to the gym, maybe you've had this experience, sometimes when you go to the gym, you know, I like to do those machine things, you know, and so I'm going through doing all the machines, and sometimes there'll be a person who was on the machine before you, you know? So, like, I'll go to the curl machine every now and then because, you know, I gotta get these guns working, you know what I mean? I gotta get them working, and I'll sit down at the curl machine. I'll come up to the curl machine. Maybe there's somebody else on there, and usually, you know, it's a young lady, you know, who's on the curl machine, and when she gets done, I get up to the deal, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not even gonna look at the weight that's on there, you know, it's probably too light. I'll probably do the first set, and then if I need to adjust it, you know, I'll do it, you know, and so I'll sit down there at the curl machine. And after this young lady has gotten up and moved on, you know, I'll sit down at the curl machine and I'll be like, you know what I mean? And, you know, here's the crazy thing about working out in the gym is that you almost feel like, I mean, there's no way around it. Like, you're working out and there's a lot of other people there. And whether they're watching you or not, you imagine that they are, right? And I just imagine that there's some guy who's sitting there who's being like, man, that dude, you know, he needs help. The worst one is, though, when you're doing the lat pulls. Anybody ever done the... You know, where you like the bar's up over your head and you're pulling it down like this, you know. The worst thing is when you sit down at that and you sit down and you're ready to go. You know, you sit down, you reach up. Usually what I do is I'll grab it and then I'll sit down like this, right? And then I'll start my lift, you know, because I'm short and I have to do that. So I'll walk up under there, I'll grab it, I'll sit down and I'll be like, wah, you know, it kind of launches me into the air. Because, frankly, y'all, I brute strength has never been my forte, okay? And I know that comes as a shock to you because you've imagined that I was, you know, the Incredible Hulk or something like that, but I'm totally not strong. I'm not strong. So when I go to the gym, you know, I know there are multiple times, this is why it's so hard sometimes for people to go to the gym, because it's like every deal that you do, you're reminded, oh, I'm not strong enough. Oh, there I am again, not strong enough, right? You're reminded of all of your insecurities when you're at the gym working out, right? I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I certainly feel that way a lot when I'm at the gym working out. I'm not strong enough, okay? And it's funny to talk about not feeling not strong enough or when you're at the gym, but it's another thing to feel powerless at moments in your life. And I can tell you... I remember when my grandfather was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And, you know, he kept saying, he would point at his head like this. He'd be like, there's something right here. I don't know what it is, you know, but there's something right here. And we finally took him to the doctor, and he was struggling, you know, had been struggling for a while, and the doctor diagnosed him with Alzheimer's. And then, you know, probably some of you have even been on this journey with a loved one. And y'all, we, for 8 years, you know, for 8 years, I watched this disease just destroy my grandfather. And look, my grandfather, my papa, man, he loved Jesus. He loved the Lord. He was not afraid of death. He was looking forward to spending eternity with his Savior, right? The only thing in my Pawpaw's life that he was afraid of was losing himself. And that's what happened to him. I remember one night at my aunt's house, and my meemaw and my pawpaw came, and my pawpaw sat down, and we were talking together, and he said to me, he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I know I'm supposed to know who you are, but I can't remember. And I told him, I said, Papa, that's okay, because I do. I remember riding around in your truck and checking on oil wells, you know. I remember you teaching me how to build things and make things.
remember working with you in your garden. I remember sitting at your big old round table in your kitchen and talking about Jesus and the Bible and theology. I remember. But it was 8 long years, and there was nothing we could do to help. And it's just such a powerless feeling when somebody that you love and that you care about is going through something like that, walking through something like that, and the only thing you can do is just watch. Maybe that's where someone is here this morning. Maybe you're in a place where this thing that you're facing in your life is just so huge and it's so big and the forces that are at work within it are so strong that you just literally feel powerless. You feel like there's no way that you're strong enough to deal with whatever it is. Maybe it's a family member who's dealing with a serious illness. Maybe it's a situation at your work. Maybe it's something going on in your finances, something that's happening in your finances, just so big. It feels like it's just sucking you into the vortex. You know what I mean? Maybe it's an issue that you're facing in your marriage. Maybe it's a struggle that you're having with your child. I think we all know on some level what it's like to just feel powerless. And we can watch the videos like that one we watched earlier that talk about how hope is here. And it feels like, yeah, maybe you should come walk around with me for a little while. It's hard to have hope when you're facing these things that I'm facing, when you're struggling with these things that I'm struggling with. So if that's you this morning, here's what I want to say to you. The passage of scripture that we're about to dig into this morning, in that passage of scripture, Moses is feeling like this. Moses has a lot of reasons to feel this way. And the people of Israel have a lot of reasons to feel like this in their lives. And so you're going to hear the Lord speaking to a person who's dealing with a lot of the same things that you're struggling with this morning as well. And I believe that God had some truth that he wanted to speak into Moses' life. And I believe that the Lord also has truth that he wants to speak into our lives as well, if we'll open our hearts and if we'll allow him to do it. You know what, let me pray, okay? And then I want us to dig into this passage of scripture. Pray with me. Father, I know that there are people here this morning who are really struggling. They feel powerless in the face of whatever they're facing, and they're starting to lose hope. God, we need your truth. I don't have words that I can say that will impact any of those situations. I feel powerless in the face of the grief and the hurt and the heartache that I know people in this room are experiencing this morning. We need you. We need you to speak. We need your truth. Would you reveal yourself to us this morning? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, here's what's going on here in our passage. Moses is being called by God to do something that he feels like is pretty much impossible, okay? And the people of Israel have been serving as slaves in Egypt, and they've been there for over 400 years. Egypt's the most powerful nation in the world at this time. And Pharaoh is the most powerful person in all of the world, and they are under the thumb of Egypt and Pharaoh. And so that's what it looked like for them. That's what it felt like for them when God said this in chapter 3, verse 19. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Exodus chapter 3, verse 19. But it's in the midst of that situation that the Lord speaks. And he's been talking to Moses, and we talked last week about some of the stuff that he was saying to Moses in the passage right before that. But in this passage, beginning in verse 19, the Lord promises all these things that are going to happen, right? And then in verse 19, he says, "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him." And here's what I want for you to know this morning. Here's what I need for you to hear this morning. If you're facing something that you just feel powerless in the face of it this morning, if that's where you are, here's what I want you to understand first. God understands the problem. God understands the problem. Some translations of this, they actually say the king of Egypt will not let you go, not even by a mighty hand. And so some translations are like, even if a mighty hand moves, Pharaoh's not going to let you go, right? So, and God knew Pharaoh. God knew Pharaoh's heart. He knew the condition of his heart. He knew that Pharaoh's earthly power held Israel in its grip. And we've talked already many times over the course of this passage about how kings in the ancient world literally held the power of life and death over people. Like, everything about the life of the Israelites was bound up under the authority of Pharaoh. And so there was no hope that they were ever going to be released, because Pharaoh was never going to do it. The situation was hopeless. And I know that there's somebody here, and that's how you feel this morning, because the situation that you're facing right now, it dominates every part of your life. So just like Pharaoh dominated every part of the nation of Israel's life, had control over all of it, the situation that you're facing this morning is dominating every part of your life, every waking moment, and all of your relationships are being affected by it, and all of your job performance is being affected by it, and you wake up in the morning thinking about it, and you go to sleep at night thinking about it, and it's just dominating your existence right now. I know there's folks here who that's what you're feeling. And it feels like in those moments, can I just say, when we're going through that, it feels really lonely. You know? It feels like we're walking through all of that stuff by ourselves and apart from God. And I just want to ask you this morning, are you in the grip of something? Do you feel powerless in the face of whatever it is that you're facing this morning? Listen, if that's you, here's what I need you to hear. God is not surprised. God is not ignorant. God knows how strong the forces are that are trying to destroy you. He's aware. Other people may try to minimize it, right? Other people may advise you, hey, just get over it. You know, it's not that big of a deal. They might try to tell you, look, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, right? They might make statements to you trying to help. They might make statements to you that trivialize what it is you're dealing with. Not the Lord God. Not the Lord. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly how painful it is. How? How does God know? How would God know how painful what I'm dealing with is, Brad? How are you so certain that God would know that? Well, there's a whole lot of reasons, but let me tell you one. Because God put on human flesh in the form of his son, Jesus. And he faced every kind of painful rejection and heartache that you and I could ever experience and will ever experience in our life. He even experienced the fear and the pain and everything that comes along with facing our imminent death. He even faced the grave. He's seen it all. He's experienced it all. He's not a God who knows philosophically, right? He's not a God who knows philosophically about what you and I struggle with. He's experienced it in his own body. And he knows. He understands the problem that you're facing. He understands it completely. But listen to what the Lord God Almighty says in verse 20. I know the king of Egypt won't let you go, right? But then in verse 20, here's what the Lord says. So, I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last, he will let you go. So here's what else I want you to know. God understands your struggle, but guess what else? God overshadows your struggle. God overshadows your struggle. And maybe you've never thought about it this way, but I want you to think about this. Focus on the beginning of this passage. The beginning of this passage is Pharaoh and how big and how powerful Pharaoh is. That's what's in everybody's mind. How strong and how mighty Pharaoh is, right? But then God says, so I will raise my hand. Okay, now here's the image that everyone is seeing as these words are coming out of the Lord's, you know, presence to Moses, right? They're imagining at first, Pharaoh's not going to let you go. They're imagining glorious Pharaoh, majestic Pharaoh, powerful Pharaoh, right? But then the Lord says, but I will raise my hand. And now we see Pharaoh in relation to God Almighty, God whose hand is bigger than Egypt. All of the military might of Egypt, all of the wealth of Egypt, all the power of Egypt is subject to the flick of God's hand. He's so much more mighty than Egypt. There's not even really a comparison. And that's what we hear in this passage. And what I want for you to understand is, listen, our problems seem really big until we remember how vast and magnificent the power of God is. Now look, when I say that, don't hear me say our problems aren't that big. That is not what I'm saying. I understand. I understand that what it is that you're facing this morning is huge. It's painful. It's dominating everything. I understand the forces that are at work in this world that can rip us apart. I've experienced them just like you. What I am saying, though, is that no matter how big they are, no matter how huge they appear in our lives, they are not anywhere close to being as mighty or as vast as the power of God. God is bigger. He overshadows our struggle. Listen, he towers over our struggle, and he is mighty over whatever has you in its grip this morning. He's mighty over it. And I need for you to hear that. I'm a nerd, okay? I'm a nerd, and so what that means is that I like fantasy movies like The Lord of the Rings, okay, and The Chronicles of Narnia. All right, I'm not apologizing for that. Okay, don't hear me. I'm fine with this. This is who I am. I'm a nerd. Okay, I love them. There's this in the first movie of the Chronicles of Narnia. I've read all the books like a billion times. Okay, and in the first movie, there's this amazing scene where this big battle is happening. And if you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, it's about these long stories about these kids, you know, and they're transported into this other world where they're kings and queens. And so these kids are leading this army into battle, and the army that they're facing is massive and it's vast and it's evil. And it's dark, and they're on the battlefield, and right at the moment that it feels like all hope is lost, the other forces are winning, their friends are falling in battle, and the evil queen is just rolling through everybody, wiping them out, and it looks like all hope is lost, right? And then on the mountainside, Aslan, the lion, right? Who this was his domain, and in the Chronicles of Narnia, he's meant to make us think about Jesus. Aslan, the lion, roars. And when he roars, everything changes. Everything. What felt hopeless, what felt dark, immediately when Aslan roars and begins to run down the mountain, right, you can see the fear in the eyes of that enemy army, and you can see the courage and the hope rise in the army that was serving him, and he runs into the battle, and he starts to toss back the powers of darkness in that battle, and ultimate victory is won. And I need for you to understand this morning, I get it, you're facing something huge and strong, and it feels like it's dominating everything, and it feels dark, and it feels hopeless. But here's what's happening in your life this morning. The Lord God, the Lord of heaven's armies, right, and his son Jesus are roaring over your problems this morning. They are roaring over what you are facing this morning. And if you will just remember how vast and how mighty the power of God is, he's coming for you. He overshadows our struggle, y'all, but that's not all. That's not all. God moves on our behalf. He knew what was going on with Israel. He knew how they were struggling, and he said, so, I know you're being oppressed. I know what's happening. So, I will raise my hand. God demonstrates his power. He commits to action. But all of his action, y'all, is for a purpose. All of his power is poured out on Egypt so that his people will be delivered from their oppression. The focus of God's miraculous power being unleashed on Pharaoh. That's the focus of it. Unleashed on Pharaoh. For Pharaoh to let his people go. Deliverance was on the mind of God. And I want you to know, deliverance is on the mind of God this morning. He desires to set you free. He's coming for you. Now look, as soon as I say that, it's important for me to remind you, though, what he's coming to do. The Lord God is coming to set you free from fear, from hurt, from despair, from hopelessness. And he's coming to call you into relationship with him. There's no easy answers. That's not what I'm talking about. The Lord may or may not be coming to give you everything that you desire in the face of your struggle. That's not what I'm saying. But he is coming with his presence. And he is coming to win victory in your life. That's what he's doing. How do you know, Brad? How can you say that? You don't know what I'm facing. How can you say that God is coming to deliver me? I've been waiting. I've been waiting for him to deliver me. He still hasn't done it. How do you even know this? Here, I can tell you. I can tell you I know because that's what he's done for me. And I need you to hear that because I'm not any better than you. I have blown it. I have failed. I've rejected the Lord. I've turned my back on him and tried to run the other direction. And still, God comes for me. And still, God comes for you. With his power, with his presence, with his authority, with his victory. Deliverance is coming. It's coming. I promise. God moves on our behalf. And now look at verse 21. God continues on. He says, and I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They'll give you gifts when you go so that you won't leave empty-handed. Because God doesn't just move on our behalf, y'all. God provides for his people. Israel had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. They didn't own any property. They had nothing that was theirs. And when they were going to be delivered from Egypt, they would have gone completely empty-handed without anything. They would have walked out into the desert without provision, without any kind of wealth. And the Lord's like, no, I'm not just going to deliver my people. There's a journey ahead of them that I'm going to provide for them on. They are going to have my provision as they leave. And so God promises that he's going to provide for his people where he leads them. So they've been in Egypt for 400 years as slaves, and they're about to receive reparations. They're about to walk out of Egypt where they served as slaves with payment for the time they spent working. That's what the Lord God did. That's what he's going to do for them. And friends, I need you to hear, that's what the Lord wants to do for you. Not only is God going to deliver you, but God is going to provide for you as you walk into his deliverance. Listen, God will give you the resources you need to move forward into freedom. God will give you the resources you need to move forward into freedom. He's going to give you the strength that you need. He's going to give you the courage that you need. He's going to give you everything you need to follow him. That's what he does. And then in verse 22, this is where it gets stupid though. Look at verse 22. It just gets ridiculous here. Because in verse 22, this is what happens. The Lord says, every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth.
Y'all, what happened in the ancient world is when an invading army came through, an invading army would come through and they would conquer, you know, the nation that they were fighting against. And then what they would do as they were leaving, they would take everything that was of value. They would take all of the silver and all of the gold and anything that was worth anything, the invading army would take it as they left, and they would just plunder the area. That's why people fought. That's why people went to war, was to gain wealth. And they would go and invade, and they would plunder, and they would bring it back to their own house. And even in scripture, we've seen all these times where this has happened already. Abraham was a part of that. This group came and attacked the city where his nephew Lot was living, and Abraham goes to rescue Lot, and he captures them, and he takes back all the plunder that they took, right? So we see all of this throughout scripture. That's how kind of the world worked. But here's what the Lord says to Israel. God promises Israel, a nation of slaves, that they would receive the spoils of victory from the most powerful military force on the face of the earth without lifting a finger, without picking up a single weapon. God's like, I'm not just going to deliver you, I'm going to pile on my blessing. Because that's what the Lord does. God piles on his blessing. There's no way Israel was strong enough to deliver itself from Egypt, but God was strong enough. He's strong enough not to just win them their freedom, but to humiliate their captors on the way out the door. And I need for you to understand something this morning. Understand that God's plan is not just to deliver you. God's plan is to win victory in your life that is so complete, so profound, that it would appear ridiculous for you to even imagine it or think about it today. You can't even begin to imagine the victory that God is about to win in your life. How do I know that? Because that's what God always does for his people. He provides for his people, but he also piles on his blessing. And that's what he wants to do for you today. Now listen, don't get it twisted, okay? I'm not up here telling you right now, man, if you'll just trust the Lord, if you'll just remember these things that God wants to do in your life, if you'll just trust the Lord, then what he's going to do is he's going to rescue you from all of your problems, and he's going to make you fabulously wealthy, and you're going to have a house on the French Riviera, right? And you could drive whatever kind of sports car you want to drive, right? I'm not telling you that. There are some preachers who will tell you that, okay? But I want you to understand something coming from my mouth. Any preacher who's telling you that is lying to you. That's not what God is concerned with. That's not what he cares about. That's not what he wants to do in your life. What he wants to do in your life is so much more beautiful, is so much more profound than just pouring out material blessing on you. He wants to give you himself. He wants to pour his presence into you. He wants to win victory in your life, not just over hardship or poverty or need. He wants to win victory in your life over fear and shame and anxiety and loss and grief. God wants to deliver us from all of that. And that's the power of the gospel. Okay. Okay, Brad, that sounds really good, right? How? What am I supposed to do? If I want for the Lord to do those things in my life, what can I do, right? Well, let me remind you of a couple things if you'd let me. The first thing is, remember this. My insecurities fade when I trust that God's power is always enough. So no matter how afraid or how weak, how broken I feel, when I trust in God's power, my insecurities begin to fade. I mean, you may not be strong enough, but God always is. So here's some things that you and I need to focus on doing this morning. The first is get close to Jesus. Get close to Jesus. I'm going to show you right now a picture of my niece holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Go ahead. Can you put it up there? Yeah, there she is. She's amazing. She's a beautiful kid. She's
playing basketball in Europe, and she's getting to go all over the place and do fun things, and it's awesome to see all her pictures and see what all she's up to. But there she is holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, you and I know, right, that she's not really holding that up, right? She's standing, and the tower is far in the background, but it looks like they're the same height, right? It looks like they're similar in size, right? It does. And look, Brittany is very tall, okay? I'm just throwing that out there. But she's not that tall, right? The reason why it looks like that is because Brittany is close to the camera, and the Leaning Tower of Pisa is far away from the camera, right? It's a trick. Can I suggest something to you today? Can I suggest that as you draw close to Jesus, you'll begin to understand how mighty and how vast his love is? And all these things that feel so huge in our life, we'll be able to see them in their proper perspective. And yeah, they're big, but they're not as big as he is. Get close to Jesus. The next thing is trust God's timing. Trust God's timing. Listen, God is going to move at exactly the right time. And we have to be patient, and we have to seek him. Now, let me say something to you, please, because I don't want to sound like a cliche machine. And the fact of the matter is that I know there are people here this morning that you're like, yeah, I've been doing that, right? I've been trusting him. I've been waiting for what seems like forever, and it feels like he's not moving. It feels like he's abandoned me, right? And I don't understand why nothing is happening. And I have been in that situation. I have felt that before. And the only thing that I know to tell you is this: God's timing is always perfect. God is going to do what God desires to do when God desires to do it. And when he moves, it will be at exactly the right time for you, the best time for you. We have to trust him. We have to trust that he knows what he's doing. He knows better than us what he's doing. So get close to Jesus. Trust God's timing. But listen to this. Get ready to move. What Jesus is taught me, what God is talking to Moses about here in this passage of scripture, what he's talking to him about is this deliverance that happens, and it's actually culminates in the night of the Passover, right? The first Passover, when the angel of the Lord went across all over Egypt, and the firstborn son of every Egyptian died, right? That night. But the people of Israel, God gave them special instructions. He told them to sacrifice a young lamb and to paint the blood from the lamb over their doorposts, right? And the angel of death would pass over them. But if you remember the instructions that the Lord gave the people of Israel, he was like, look, don't even make your bread with yeast in it. Don't even wait for that stuff to rise. You make yourself a lamb, but you eat all of it. No leftovers, man. Eat it all. And if you can't eat it all, share it with somebody next to you. He literally told him, take your cloak and stuff it down up into your belt, right? Because that's what you did when you knew you were about to travel. He's like, get ready, because I'm about to do something and you need to be ready to move. And so look, some of us, we got to get ready to move. Some of us, we got to act like we believe that God's deliverance is coming. We got to live like we believe and trust that God's deliverance is coming, and we got to get ready to move. And maybe it's time for somebody here to just step out in faith and just start to act like, yeah, I know God is going to do something. I know God is going to move on my behalf. I know he's telling me this. And so I'm going to get ready, and I'm going to live like I believe he's doing it. Get ready to move. One of the things you and I often do is we just sell the Lord of Heaven's armies short. We're like, well, I mean, this problem is way too big, and I guess he's not going to do anything about it. So I'm just going to hang out here in the pit of my despair. And I just want you to know, it's not what the Lord has for you. It's not. Get close to Jesus, trust God's timing, and get ready to move. Because his deliverance is coming. So here's what we're going to do. The band's going to come up here, and we're going to enter into a time of worship. But here's what we're doing as we enter this time of worship. And on some level, it's what we're doing every week. Okay? The first thing that we're doing as we worship during this time is we're drawing close to Christ. Right? We're getting close to Jesus. We want to be in his presence. The second thing that we're doing is we're confessing as we worship together, Lord, I trust you. I trust you completely. And maybe that's what you need this morning. Maybe the big thing that's on your heart is you need to just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I give you my trust. I trust that you know what you're doing. I'm going to just trust you. Maybe somebody here needs to do that. And then we're going to draw close to Jesus. We're going to trust God, place our trust in him. And then the last thing is we're going to be expectant. As we're worshiping during this time, we're going to expect God to speak to us, God to convict our hearts, God to move in our lives. We're going to expect that. And so that's what we're doing as we worship. And we're going to do those three things that we just talked about. So direct your heart onto those. If you need someone to pray for you this morning, because I know these burdens, we're not meant to bear them alone. If you need someone to pray for you this morning, if you can just come right down here to the front. And just, you know, my friend Gary, he's going to be up here at the front. He's going to be over here on this side. And so you can just come up here and y'all can kind of go off to the side. No one's watching you. Don't be embarrassed. But if you need someone to pray for you, don't leave here. Don't miss this opportunity to have the Lord speak into your life. And I don't know what it looks like for you right now. I don't know what it is that you need to do. I don't know what action you need to take. But whatever action you need to take to draw close to Christ, to place your trust in him, and to live by faith, like you believe he's about to do something. Whatever needs to happen this morning for you to do that, do it. If you need to sit down, if you need to stand up, need to lay down on your face on the aisle, look, whatever it is. You need to go to the back. You need to grab your spouse. Just hold on to them and pray together. I don't know what it is you need to do this morning, but do it. Whatever it is, don't leave this place without acknowledging the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Stand up, let me pray for you. Father, we know that you desire to reveal yourself to us today. That's what you're doing. All of your power, all of your authority is directed on our deliverance, all of it. And right now, all of your power, all of your authority is directed toward revealing your heart to us, your love to us. You want for us to know you. And so, God, give us eyes to see. Lord, make our hearts tender. Help us to experience you in this moment. And for those who are out right now who are struggling, like the hope is just ebbing out of their souls, I pray that they would have an experience with your Holy Spirit right now that would remind them that you loved them, that you were good, that you're caring for them, that you are moving, Lord God, on their behalf. Would you do that work in these moments, Lord? I know you will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.